The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today from Good Morning America, the morning show with Regis Philbin and the Today Show, Kathy Lee Gifford shares her personal journey to a deeper understanding of God's Word.
What most Christians don't know, because they don't understand our Jewish heritage, that we're one family. Mm-hmm. It's one story,
yes,
starting with God calling Abraham from the land of Ur, which is modern-day Iraq, and it goes all the way through to the book of Revelation.
Hello, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm particularly glad that you're joining me today. You're used to just seeing me sitting here on the set, but when I knew I had an opportunity to interview the woman I'm about to introduce to you, I said, you name the day, you name the time, I will be here with bells on. You're going to be incredibly blessed by my guest. And in fact, why don't you go text somebody right now and say, tune in. Please help me welcome our amazing guest, Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh, Sheila, thank you.
It's been years since
I've seen you. What a boy has time been good to us.
Yes, indeed.
You look great.
So do you.
Thank you.
But you know, one of the interesting things is I watched. My husband and I never missed you and Hoda. We just loved it. We said all your lines along with you. But I watched you last week, and on the second to last episode,
yes. What
blew me away was what every single person on the Today Show said about you and about your faith.
Yeah.
And it blew me away.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by the depth of the impact that your life's had on them?
Well, I've spent 11 years with those people. Some of them are newer, and some of the others have gone on, not to the Lord yet, but have left the show for different reasons. And you pray that you leave your mark on every person. You pray that. My daddy used to say every time I did anything, he said, first of all, he said, honey, be the best they ever had. And then treat everybody exactly the same.
Yeah.
Treat them with God's love.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a perfect person. And I wasn't surprised by the people that I know I've had, like, an impact on. I've led them to the Lord, or they're going to church, or they've, you know, had miscarriages, and we prayed that they'd have children. And then, you know, those kinds of miraculous things. But I was surprised at the party that they gave me that was private, how many people that I didn't even know.
Oh.
And I just was just humbled by it. You know, that's what do you want? You want a trophy full of, you know, a trophy room full of Emmys?
Yeah.
Or do you want 1,000 trophies in heaven of people that came to know their Lord and Savior and are walking with him and had joy in their life and peace and all the things that can only happen if you have the Holy Spirit in your life. So
The thing that was so clear, though, was when in 1 Peter, when it talks about always be ready to give a reason for the hope.
An account
of
the hope.
Yes, that is within you. That often I think more by your life than your words that you spoke of the goodness of God.
Well, was it Augustine that said, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words.
Yeah. Brilliantly said. Well, this book, The Rock, the Road, and the Rabbi. I have to tell you, when I got hold of this book, sometimes I read books because I want to honor my guest and I just want to make sure I've read it. This one was like a gift from the Lord.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So profound. Tell me how this came to be.
It's called The Rock, the Road, and the Rabbi. And I wrote it with a brilliant Bible scholar named Rabbi Jason Sobel. And I've been privileged to go to the Holy Land so many times since I was 17 years old. And work there and study there. But I started studying rabbinically in 2012. Mm. And ever since then, everything changed for me. I thought I knew the Bible. I've been a student of the Bible all my life. I've read it all the way through 11 times and studied it also my whole life. And I went on this trip with Ray Vanderlaan from That the World May Know. You can get his videos. They're incredible. And it rocked my world. The rock in the title is Jesus. The road, of course, is the Holy Land. Mm-hmm. And the rabbi is not just Rabbi Sobel, but the word as taught by the rabbis, who go 10 layers deeper than anything we ever learned in Sunday school.
Yeah.
From my studies, I had truly gotten to a point where I couldn't go to many churches.
Yeah, no, I understand
because
that.
Because I'd listen sitting there, and I'd go, but that's not true.
Wow.
That's not true. And I'd get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And then I'd listen to the hymns being sung with theology that's not true, and it would frustrate me because my faith had gotten very stale when I took that trip in 2012. And all of a sudden, there was a fire that was lit inside me again. Why? Because of the Word of God.
Wow. Is that the one that Frank was with you on?
It's the one my husband went on, and it transformed his life. Yeah. He said, I know the Bible. I was saved when I was a kid. He didn't know anything. And you know what I found out after all the years of study? I didn't know anything.
Wow.
So it was thrilling to me to discover that unless you study the Word of God in its original text, the Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New, you're being sold a pack of lies. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He is the deceiver. He does not want us to know the truth.
Wow.
He doesn't want us to because it sets us free.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just, I mean, honestly, we could do a two-hour show, but I know you have a life.
Not much of one anymore.
But there's so much. And yeah, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things.
Sure.
Like, even where Christ was born, when we talk about Bethlehem and Jesus being born, you know, all the Christmas cards have this little stable with straw and a couple of cows.
Yes.
But the revelation that you have in here from the rabbi is profoundly different.
That's what blew my mind. I thought I'd heard that story many. We all think we know that, first of all, Jesus was not born in December. This the rainy season, and he was not born in a stable. They don't have stables. All the animals, they're born in caves. In the shepherd's fields, and there, it's a bad translation.
Wow.
The other thing about it that's unbelievable is Jesus was actually conceived during that time. It's Hanukkah, so in a way he was born then. But the festival of Hanukkah, see, the light of the world. He who follows me will not stumble in darkness, but will have the light of life. He was actually born 9 months later during Sukkot, the festival of Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's when the Jews celebrated the fact that they were redeemed from slavery. Moses was the first sort of foreshadowing of what was going to happen when the Messiah finally came. So Jesus is the one that really brought us to the real promised land. So we learn things like that. What most Christians don't know, because they don't understand our Jewish heritage, that we're one family. Mm-hmm. It's one story, starting with God calling Abraham from the land of Ur, which is modern-day Iraq, and then building a nation and all of that. And it goes all the way through to the book of Revelation. So you cannot just concentrate on the New Testament and say, but that's the one that's full of grace. All of it's full of grace.
Jesus is there from page one.
Jesus was there at creation with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. But then later the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's, you have to study that. Every major event in Jesus' life happened during one of the major Jewish festivals.
And those
And we don't even know what they are. Yeah. We don't even know what they are. We call the day that he was resurrected Easter. That's not the word. It's first fruits. You know, he was died on Passover, and resurrection is First Fruit Sunday. Wow. And we don't even study it or know it. We don't go to Seders. We don't go to, you know, we don't.
Do you know, I've never been. And I read your book, and I thought, I am the first Seder that is available. I'm going to be there.
Well, Reverend Jason has one I'm going to tell you about, and it will rock your world.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, you will understand the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a Seder. And all of it has unbelievable significance.
How can I be 62 and not know this stuff?
And have studied the Word
all your life. Since I was a little girl.
But not with the best teachers in the world. Who go 10 layers down. Every time you think you know something, they go, but there's more.
Yeah.
Which thrills my soul. I want more.
And you talk about, I mean, there's so much to talk about, but even what you talk about in terms of forgiveness.
Yes.
I believe that the body of Christ is crippled because of unforgiveness.
Yes.
And you talk about the whole thing of when, you know, when Peter said, well, do I forgive seven times?
And he thought he was very righteous saying that, yes.
Yeah. But 70 times seven is like the number of completion?
490.
So what happens to a believer who refuses to forgive?
They don't grow. Mm. They remain mired. They're saved, but they're mired in their lack of power.
Wow.
When you forgive, what did Jesus say on the cross? Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And what happened to him? Resurrection.
Wow.
That's what happens to us.
Wow.
Resurrection.
You talk a lot, too, about Jesus and women, the way that Jesus, you call Jesus the first feminist.
The only radical feminist the world has ever known. I love that.
That's beautiful.
That he appeared first in his resurrected form to a formerly mentally ill woman.
I know.
And what did he do? She didn't recognize him early in the dawn, and with the sun coming, she didn't know him until he went, Mary.
You said that's your favorite word.
Because you know what he says to you? Sheila. And to me, he says, Kathy. And everybody, and he says, Dan. And he says, John. He says, he knows us by name. Our hand is on those hands that were crucified for us, has our names. Mm-hmm. It's too wonderful for words. It's too wonderful.
One of the things I wrote recently, and one of my chapters is called Celebrate Your Scars as Tattoos of Triumph, because God tells a story in scars.
Yes.
You know, I think when he looks at the scars of Christ, he sees you and me.
Of course he does, and he collects our tears in bottles. Mm,
Psalm 56,
and
I love that.
And they're never forgotten. I mean, he gives us tears for a purpose. Mm. And I know you've gone through things in your life. I certainly have. My stuff was very, very public. Mm. No matter what trials there are, all your desert experiences, God does his best work in your deserts. Mm-hmm. They aren't fun. You get scarred from them, but they're necessary. Jesus could not start his ministry until he had gone 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. 40 years in the wilderness. And what I love about Jason Sobel so much, but he teaches that, you know, Christians have been afraid of numerology. For centuries, we've been taught it's of the devil. We're not supposed to understand. Don't put your faith in numbers.
Yes.
We're not supposed to put our faith in numbers, but we're supposed to understand that there's not one random thing in the Bible.
Yeah.
As for God, his ways are perfect, and the word of the Lord is flawless, if you're actually reading the right. And every number has a reason to it. And it's not there randomly, as I said. So what I love about what he teaches is why were 6 pots of water turned into wine? He'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Why was it 7 days of creation? He'll tell you why. He'll also tell you why, and I think I did this part, that the word for day in the Hebrew is yom, Y-O-M. Many people don't want to read the Bible. They discount it completely because they said, because we know science can't live next to faith in the creation story. Why should I waste my time reading a 5,000-year-old dead book? We all know it's the most alive thing in the entire world. But yom in the Hebrew means a period of time with a distinct beginning and a distinct end. But God is timeless.
Yes.
And it can be any amount of time.
Yeah.
And it also means a solar day. I don't believe it was 6 solar days because the sun and the moon don't show up until the 4th yom.
Wow. Yeah. All the questions
that you have
are answered in the Word of God if you understand
it. If you understand what it says.
Yes. What about David, this 12 to 14-year-old shepherd boy who comes to bring his brothers, and there's this huge giant, Goliath. You talk about, and he explains about picking up the stones and why that was significant.
Yes, yes, and that's too long to explain. But I think the main thing that I talked about in my section of that was what I learned at the Valley of Elah, which was everybody thinks they know the story of David and Goliath, that this amazing little young guy who couldn't even put on Saul's stuffs was able to kill Goliath, the giant. Well, let's think about this for a second. First of all, the Bible tells us that David had already slain lions and bears.
Yes.
Every gift David had was given to him when he was fearfully and wonderfully made in his mother's womb. Same as us, same as all of us. God prepared him. God doesn't tell us to do something that he hasn't equipped us to do.
Yeah.
And so he was already prepared. But the difference was the Israeli army and the King Saul were quaking in their boots for how many days?
40 days
and 40 nights. Uh-huh. Again, the 40 is very informative. They had religion up on that ridge.
Which is powerless.
David had a faith and a knowledge, a personal knowledge of the eternal God. Mm. And he had relationship.
Yeah.
He walked down, said, I'll do. Why is everybody afraid of this guy? I'll do it. That's chutzpah. And chutzpah based on reality and he experienced. He went down, he knew exactly what he needed, and if read the book and you'll find out why there was 5 stones.
Yeah.
And he just, and he says, I come to you in the name of the eternal God of Israel, whom you have defied. Boom.
Wow.
That's the difference. So where are you going to throw your stone?
Yes.
We all have it.
Yeah.
Throw your stone at the chaos of the world and bring God shalom to this world.
Don't throw at another believer.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, or another person in the world.
No.
But you talk about, the rabbi explains in the book how that represented the power and the authority of God.
Yes, the power and the authority. And the other cool thing, if you're hit like this, like Goliath was, normal way to fall would be back like that.
Yeah.
Ancient times, everyone bowed to the greater God. He stumbled and then he fell forward.
Wow, that'll preach.
The greater God.
Oh, that is so amazing.
It's this kind of stuff that feeds your soul and fuels your faith.
Mm-hmm. So as you look to the next few years, Kathy, you're obviously in a new season.
Yes.
What's on your heart and on your mind for what?
That I'm running out of time. And I want a boldness that I've never had before. I've always been bold. I've always been bold. People say that, well, how do you say those things on national television? Not on Sheila Walsh's show where you're, you know, where I'm free to.
Yeah.
But you used to say that on NBC. You used to say it with Regis. And I said, I don't separate the secular from the spiritual in my life.
Yeah.
The Word of God says, in Him we live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
My faith isn't exercised for 1 hour on a Sunday.
Right.
It's every moment of every day.
Yeah.
It's what we live and breathe. Mm-hmm. I'm in a season where I don't want to waste anything, nothing. I'm doing films now based on oratorios, but also I've got two more written and ready to go.
Wow.
We're about to record those. So one is called the God of the How and When.
Mm.
And the next one is after that is the God of His Word.
Wow.
Because we are not teaching the Bible the way it is meant to be understood. The biggest problem with the Bible is not the Bible itself. It's with the way we interpret. And it was written by Middle Easterners for Middle Easterners centuries ago.
Yeah.
If we don't know what that means and what was going on in the culture at the time, then we use our Western mindset to try to understand it.
Yeah.
That's why people thought the guys that translated the Greek to the English for the King James Version, which is probably the worst translation of the Bible.
Yeah, I think it is probably
the worst. Yeah, Jesus didn't say, thou mightest go to the... Jesus spoke Hebrew, okay? And he spoke Greek probably and a little Aramaic. He did not speak the King's English. That came centuries and centuries later. Forsooth, saith to that mountaineth. He didn't do that. Drives me crazy.
I know, it's nuts.
I won't even retweet somebody that quotes it.
Yeah.
I just can't. Because it's not what it says.
But when you talk about getting back to the original language and you understand, then there's, like even John 4 with the woman of the Samaritan, the woman at the well, where he says, true worship is worship in spirit. And in truth, that Greek word means with nothing hidden.
Yes.
We come with nothing hidden.
That's
and
right.
It's like when you get the, and I'm now convinced there's probably 9 more layers to that I don't know.
Don't you just want to sit at like a great rabbi's feet? And there are Christian rabbis too.
Yes.
Jason happens to be a messianic rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And sit at the feet. And I love to do it in the Holy Land. If you can ever find a way to get to the Holy Land, everything comes to life for you. Mm. That's what I love about these films we're doing.
Yeah.
We're shooting them right where these things happen.
So brilliant.
And it's transforming. It's life transforming.
Well, Kathy, I ask all my audience to pray for you, to ask for fresh favor, for anointing on your life. And I want to say to you, to do yourself a favor. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth on this program. This is one of the best books I've ever read.
Oh, wow. Surely.
I learned things that after years and years of study, I did not know.
Oh,
and I'm so grateful. And I'm going to Israel.
Come with the rabbi. He does tours.
Yeah, he does.
Rock, road, and rabbi tours.
Wow. Well, Kathy has been a phenomenal supporter here at Life Today. And so I want to show you a little of why she believes in what we're doing here and believes in James and Betty. Would you watch this?
We're coming through this village because we've been told about a grandmother here that is looking after her grandchildren who have been orphaned. Their mother died in the last month. This mother obviously died because there's a lack of food in this area and just the sickness and disease created by that. It's a mother that's left behind 4 children that have to be taken care of by a grandmother, the youngest of which I think is less than 1 year old, are now fighting for survival themselves. And this becomes even a harder life and death struggle.
Yeah. So what we've learned is that some of the kids in the village where they live have been assessed for malnutrition, and it turns out that her grandkids are suffering at the hand of malnutrition, unfortunately. She's just really fearful, as you can imagine, for the future of these kids. It's just such a predicament to be in.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've heard this grandmother's request, Father God, that you would be there, that you would be their comforter and their peace. You know, if you could just understand for a moment what is really happening here, your heart would maybe break as much as mine. Because culturally, it's unacceptable for a lady like this to cry in public, and yet the weight of responsibility on her is such that when we ask if we could pray for her, the first thing she said is, because I need help for my baby. We're here. We can make it happen for you, but we cannot do it without you. Please, do whatever you can do today. Express God's heart and give the best gift you can give. Give the gift of life.
You know, sometimes tears come whether you want them to come or not, whether it's socially acceptable or not. I mean, if you think about it, that grandmother not only has to take care of these little ones, understanding that they're already sick, she just lost her daughter too, all because of malnutrition. When there's no food available in an area, the worst things happen to even the strongest mothers. I mean, I've met so many mothers on my trips in Africa who every night, faithfully, before they go to bed, they get on their knees. And when I say go to bed, I mean like lie on something on the floor. But they get on their knees and they ask God for help. And that's where you and I come in. It's amazing. We get to be the answer to that grandmother's prayer. And we can do it for so little. Do you know that $30 will feed 3 children, not for one day, for 3 months? $50 will feed 5 children for 3 months. $100 will feed 10 children for 3 months. And for $1,000, you could feed 100 children. You could take care of a whole village in Jesus' name for 3 months. So please, would you go to your phone? Would you give the very best gift possible? And I would love to send you Kathy Lee Gifford's book. You know, it's a wonderful book. And as you've heard, she's an amazingly gifted speaker as well as a television personality. This book is rich. You will love it. And also you can request this phenomenal new CD from Anthony Evans. It's called Altered. It kind of tells a little bit of his spiritual journey and what he's been learning. I know you don't give to get the gifts, but we want to bless you. But I want to ask you, please, will you help us help these children, help these mothers, help these grandmothers? So little, you would think, well, what can $30 do? Well, just let me tell you, I have walked those village dusty roads and I've seen where death lives and where life lives. Where death lives is when they end up in the malnutrition clinic. And usually by that point, it's too late. The children are so weak. Their immune systems are so compromised. They barely have enough energy left to breathe. But I've walked to the other side and I've seen where life lives. And that's where mission feeding is, serving bowls of nutritious food specifically engineered for what these children in Africa need. One bowl of food begins that journey of turning from death to life. It gives them a future and a hope. As long as the body of Christ is on this earth, this is our, not obligation, it's our joy. We get to make a difference. Who knows how many children we might meet when we finally get home who say, because you gave in Jesus' name, you helped me. Please call now.
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50 or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Altered Worship CD by Anthony Evans. This powerful full-length album includes unique versions of some of today's most cherished worship songs that are sure to uplift and inspire you. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Filled with Faith and Joy Travel Mug Set. These 12-ounce mugs are crafted with large handles, double-layered insulation, and vacuum-sealed lids to prevent spills. Each mug includes a message to remind you of God's blessings and faithfulness. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I so clearly remember when I first came to South Sudan many, many years ago, and I remember walking through some of the villages here, a lot like this village I'm in today, and just being shocked by the fact that there could be a place on earth where mothers bury their children every month, every week, some places like this village, every day. I come to you today as I talk about what we saw then and what we're seeing now. The fact that over these years we've been able to save so many millions of lives. We've had such a huge impact here in South Sudan. And yet today we come into a village that we've just started working in, and we talk to mothers, mother after mother, who tell us their devastating stories. We have to continue what we're doing in this village, and we have to reach the villages next door to here that we're not getting to yet, where children are literally starving to death. This is a crisis, and it's a crisis that only we can solve because we're here, and with the gifts of the Friends of Life, we can bring life to these villages.
Please, please help us. And if you want, we would love to send you Kathy Lee's book, or just go anywhere, go to Amazon, go to anywhere you can get it. And trust me, this book will have an impact on your life. I want to thank you that out of all your busy commitments and everything you're doing...
I was excited that you'd extended an invitation. We've known each other a long, long time.
Long time.
We haven't had the blessing of being together
much. So this was just a joy. Kathy Lee, love you, sister. Thank you.
Oh, dear.
It's falling from heaven.
Save the book.
See you next time.
And save hers, too.
We equate the presence of pain with the absence of God, right?
Michelle Couchette helps us see God's relentless, loving presence in the midst of pain. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.